Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Details at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the July 5 edition of Commodity Week. We know how much corn is left in the bin. We know how much acreage has been planted, we think. And next week, we'll get a shot at what the world agricultural supply and demand estimates might be. We'll find out if those will move the markets again today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Iowa State Extension ag economist Chad Hart. Our panelists in studio today include Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing. He's from Morton, Illinois. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And Mike Zuzlo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us and all of our agricultural programming online at WILLAG.org.
Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Well, let's start our discussion, gentlemen, with this question. The month of June, corn futures in the December contract, the new futures, posted an outside down range. They were off 77.5 cents, or rather, that range was 77.5 cents, and they were down 56.25 for the month of June, and they lost another 19.75 cents this week. How much lower can they go?
Well, that's a good question. If you look back in history, you would see that July, the month of July, usually has the biggest range. So it's a little bit scary. Obviously, the market has a tendency in a history the last few years of getting ahead of itself. We're factoring in big crops. That potential's there. But I could easily see December futures break under that 490 area, maybe get down into the 470 area. I think it's going to have to keep going well with weather, and we got to remember, we've got a long way to go before this big crop is in the bin, too.
Chip Nellinger is with Blue Reef Agri Marketing. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities.
Well, Todd, for right now, we've got a lot of weather and a lot of time before pollination. I agree with Chip that that's very possible to do that, and we're looking at some awfully good weather here in the eastern Midwest. It gets a little drier as we go west, and maybe that's going to hold us up so we don't go quite as far down. But the fact of the matter is, we're looking at an end target somewhere in the 450 area.
And Mike Zuzlo is at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
Yeah, I think that Wayne and Chip had the mindset that I have, Todd, that you've got the biggest crop being grown right now. The market after mid-June did not see continued wet weather and cold weather and really dried out fast, and that really greened the corn up. And the market's really seeing with the acreage report in the rearview mirror the mindset that we can go back above 2 billion bushels. But I would say trading 450 October corn for the cash market right now in a lot of areas, you're probably undervalued by about 15 to 20 cents based upon the model I use. Doesn't mean you stop going down, but I think you're going to get reflective. The trade's going to have to get reflective if the USDA report next week doesn't feed the bear. I think that's what we're heading into, is a feed the bear type mindset. You've got to be negative or get some negative numbers to keep generating price levels that would push us down to 450 in new crop December.
December corn this week, by the way, had a settlement price of $4.91 and a quarter. Once again, it settled down 19 and three quarters. Will the WASDE report, which is due out the 11th day of July, Chip, feed the bear?
I think it'll be have a hard time feeding the bear. We've digested a lot of that, in my opinion. I think it's too early for the USDA to go up much on yields, maybe a bushel. I think that's already in the market. I think longer term, though, once you get to the August, September, October reports, I don't think we've seen or heard the last of this acreage issue for corn. And so they're doing that resurvey on 14 states for beans. I think if there is a surprise increase in bean acres in the future, it's going to be assumed that they all came out of corn. So I think this report next week is going to be hard to feed the bear. I think most of us digested the market already.
Wayne?
Well, I think that, you know, we're looking at Forma. They're still using 160 number. We're having a lot of other people, as long as the crop ratings are coming back up, that they're wanting to inch back up from that 156 to maybe the 157, 158 area. So it's going to be hard if they, you know, that they keep talking about that. Also, I think that, you know, we had the world numbers go up a million metric tons on production on the last time they issued something here last week. And so we're going to look at some pretty big world numbers. But we must remember, the Chinese have been very aggressive this week of starting to get in and buy some new crop corn.
Let's take a look at some ending stocks numbers, Mike. 769 is the current ending stocks number from USDA for this fall. That's 769 million bushels for corn. And at the moment, they're at a 1.948. You're telling me that the trade is got something over 2 in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think we're between 2.1 and 2.2, and I agree with what Chip was talking about. And I think we've traded really good weather since the acreage report, and that's where probably the outlier in this whole thing is the weather and not having really had one good weather scare in the summertime. That tight number you just said, Todd, for 2012-2013, that's probably going to go below 700 million bushels based upon the grain stocks report. So I think the market's deserving of one good summer weather scare. Like we talked about Friday on the closing market report, this next week seems to be a week that comes and brings some stuff together that gives you a chance, if you don't feed the bear on that report, to allow for some stochastics, technical oscillators, fundamentals and weather all to work together to see if you can't get a bounce. And maybe fill those gaps above the market in the Deese corn. We've got two sets of gaps in that Deese corn chart, and I think those are worth looking at.
He suggested that the 769 might go a bit lower. We will get an update of that number next week. We've got some grain stocks figures. Daryl Good is of the mind, even on this one, that you could lose 100 million out of that and go down to, I don't know, 650 or so.
I'm questioning. I think you flip a coin, flip your magic quarter. I'm still confused from the March stocks report. It didn't seem to me like on the future or the forward looking USDA monthly supply and demand reports that they ever reflected that unexpected increase in March. So I'm a little confused on how they account for these stocks reports to begin with. So I think there's some confusion there. But I wouldn't argue with Mike at all. I mean, I think, ethanol is pretty well known right now. That seems to be cranking along at a pretty good pace. We kind of know where the exports are. Always the question is feed usage. And so I wouldn't disagree that unchanged to slightly lower, but I'm still a little confused on how the USDA accounts for those quarterly stocks reports to begin with.
Let's take a look at the nearby corn. July futures is 690 top, a bottom there at 651. Settlement price was 684 and three quarters. That was up 5.5 cents, by the way, for the month of June, a gain of 17 and a quarter as it closed it out. 45-cent range there. Not a lot, but gambling stocks left anywhere on corn at this point. 684 and three quarters is kind of high, but there's been $8 numbers out there before. Where do you think that market might go before the new harvest comes in?
Are we talking about the board or are we talking about cash, Todd? And right. I think that's a big different story right there. And I think we're seeing the basis fluctuate quite a bit depending on how the usage is for local ethanol plants. I think the story is ethanol, ethanol, and ethanol as far as the old crop goes and how much we can do. Of course, we saw crude oil really creep up in a big hurry here this last week. And I think that sort of supports that we want to keep the ethanol plants running. And I think that's going to be the question. Most of them are covered for the next couple of weeks, but we're going to see if we need to push them a little farther. I think we will, come back up and probably we're going to narrow the gap on the basis and on the futures, and we're probably going to be up around that just shy of $7.
Mike, I'm pretty sure you agree that this is part and parcel of basis in the cash market as opposed to what's happening in the futures.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing after we closed out Friday's trade is that, yes, the July wheat corn spread is still negative 28, so wheat's a feed grain in the July contract, but that jumps to $1.35 premium to September wheat, so wheat doesn't even come close to being a feed grain in the practical market at this point. And I think that's a breath of fresh air we haven't been used to for many months.
I think the feed sector is the wild card. There's a lot of feedlots that I've talked to that are in somewhat of a panic. They have been for a while. They're trying to feed anything other than corn. The interesting thing to me is a lot of cash markets and terminals have already switched their bid to the December. So in some respects, it kind of doesn't matter what the July futures do. In my mind, that basis has to get better, though, because what stocks are left has to be drug out of the farmer's hand. If they haven't sold it now, in my mind, most bids are off the December, and that basis, at least from an old crop perspective, has to get much better before we shake those last remaining bushels loose.
July wheat this week, by the way, a $6.65.5 top, bottom there at 6.43¾. July settled at 6.56. That was up 7.5 cents on the week. The June was down 57 cents for the month. That would have closed out last Friday. July of 2014 at $6.91.5, 6.5 cents lower. And it was off 61¼ cents in the month of June. Taking a look at the soybeans, 16.04¼ for the July on the top side this week, a bottom at $15.60. Settlement price at $15.88, finished 23.5 cents higher than it did last Friday. And last Friday's close, by the way, for the month of June was up 54.5 cents in the old crop July soybeans. November beans, a 12.28¼ settlement price this week, off 23¼ cents from last Friday's close. And November beans lost 52¼ since last week. So there's about a dollar spread that was put in place in the month of June for soybeans, Wang.
You know, I think that it's very much an old crop, new crop situation. We've got very tight demand or very tight stocks on the old crop. But I think there's going to be a little bit of come to reasoning here soon, especially out west. We've been hearing reports of reductions the past few days of 10 cents to 50 cents drop in the basis as the soybean plants get what they sort of need to finish out their crush for the summer and what they're looking at along the way. And we're going to look and see how the world demand is for our meal if we continue to export meal along the way. But I do think that it's a very tight situation as the old crop goes. But the new crop, as long as the weather looks good, we are probably going to have trouble staying above 1250.
Would you agree with that, Wayne, or Mike?
I think that the 2004 model year would buy into what Wayne just said 100%, and I think the additional problem with the soybeans right now is the currency relationship and how we're losing our competitive edge because of what's happening in the outside markets. I do see a more friendly bias in the beans after this past week and being in the Western Corn Belt because the beans are extremely short and they're suffering from a lot of heat stress and they're suffering from some disease pressure and some blight pressure as well. And I've even heard that in the Eastern Corn Belt in the garden spot areas of Ohio and Eastern Indiana. So I guess I'm going to split the difference and say I can't buy beans for reownership for 2012 because I still think they're overvalued like Wayne. But if the beans, the new crop beans, would go up, I think that the corn would willingly follow because that bean-corn ratio in the new crop's at 2.5. So I stick with buying September corn if I'm going to buy anything.
Anything higher than a $16.45 top available, you think, for old crop beans, Chip?
Oh, I think so. I think that beans, old crop beans, are even a tighter situation than old crop corn. We talked about the tightness of old crop corn. I think beans are much tighter and much more subject to big swings higher. You know, even though the basis is backing off, it's really a factor of, are those crush plants going to keep crushing? We've heard reports of some plants taking downtime or maintenance time, just not because it's not profitable, just simply because they can't get the beans. So it I think that opens the door to pushes at certain points throughout the rest of the summer, well above 16 in the cash market. But you know, you can't hold your hat on that. Unfortunately, there's not many stocks left in farmer hands at this point.
The stocks-to-use ratio is already at 4%, 125 million bushels expected to be left in the bin. It's, I don't suppose, very likely USDA would change that.
I think that based on the exports and crush pace, they could take it down just a little bit. But I agree with you. They're you know, likely going to let the cash market ration the demand, and you can only go so tight. So I could see maybe a 10 to 15 million bushel decrease, but not much more than that.
I don't think the government's going to change their carryout on that, Todd. It just, they seem to be stuck, drawing their line in the sand as we've looked at it.
And Mike, your view on the soybeans?
Well, like Chip hit on, you're running 28%, or excuse me, you're running 23.7 million bushels on commitments over the USDA forecast. They're going to have to switch something sometime. Whether it's on the report next week or not, we don't know. But it's something to keep an eye on, because I think you're really trading closer, or probably more at a 100, 110 million bushel carryover. And if the USDA would come out with something like that, then you could start to look at that 1650-plus area, I think.
Mike Zuzlow is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana, in studio with us. Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. In just a couple minutes, we'll return. We'll talk with Chad Hart. He's Extension Economist at Iowa State University in Ames.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. This was a relatively mild week with temperatures almost 5 degrees below average. Rainfall was widespread and ranged from less than an inch in northern Illinois to over 2 inches in southern Illinois. Recapping June, the statewide average precipitation for Illinois was 5.2 inches. That was 1 inch above the 1981-2010 average. It was more than double the June 2012 total of 1.8 inches. The two wettest areas in Illinois were in northern Illinois and an area just to the south of Interstate 70. The area in northern Illinois was part of a larger area of heavy amounts in northeastern Iowa and southern Wisconsin. The area in southern Illinois extended on into southern Illinois and Kentucky. Both regions had rainfall totals in excess of 8 inches and even 10 inches or more in some areas. By contrast, much of the rest of the state was close to average, with 3 to 6 inches very common. There were a few areas with less than 3 inches in western and north central Illinois, but these are not alarming because they have followed a fairly wet spring. The statewide average temperature for June was 71.5 degrees, which is just 0.3 degrees below average. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of 5 hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
This is the July 5 edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio include Wayne Nelson and Chip Nellinger, along with Mike Zuzlow. On the phone line from Ames, Iowa, is Iowa State Extension Ag Economist Chad Hart. Chad, thanks for being with us. Why don't you update us first about conditions on the ground in your state?
Conditions here in Iowa have been improving. The last few days especially have been near ideal, but before that we were wet. What you saw was definitely delayed planting, delayed emergence of our crops, fair amount of replant that has gone on. But as I drive through the state, the probably the most alarming thing is there are a lot of drowned out spots that just aren't going to have anything on them this year as we're going into it. That being said, as I look, what did get planted has been improving, especially over the last couple of weeks.
Can I follow up very quickly? Because there was some concern early on that there would be an awful lot of prevent plant corn acres in particular, maybe even soybean acres, in the upper tier of counties in Iowa, the lower parts of Minnesota. Do you think that happened?
We do have some, you know, and talking with some producers up in the area, yeah, we have more prevented planting than we usually do, but a lot of them told me, no, they got in 85-90% of what they expected. The biggest problem for them has been more the drowned out spots in the fields that they did get planted.
Chad, can you follow up on that or help quantify those drowned out areas? I mean, are you talking 10%, 5%? Can you help quantify that, I guess?
Yep. And maybe in this case, and this is, let's call it my windshield tour estimate here. As I was looking at the northern part of the state, we would be talking about probably in that 5 to 10% range. If I had to split difference, I'll say 7.5. A lot of the areas that got drowned out were our better producing areas. So these were our flat fields where the water had nowhere to go, and it just kind of sat there. And so as I'm looking at the acreage number that came out last week, I'm not going to quibble too hard about the planted area, but I'm watching the harvested area number because I think that will shrink, especially as we look at the Western Corn Belt.
You know, as we look at that along the way, how are you time-wise? We're catching up on our crop here. Are you guys feeling like we're going to be in a big trouble for an early frost?
We're fairly weak as far as that's concerned. I mean, as you look, the crop is not where it needs to be. It is catching up, but, you know, it started about 2 weeks behind at least. And so, yeah, we are worried about a frost, especially as I look at the beans. I know I was talking to some farmers here yesterday over the 4th of July, and there was still some beans going in just a couple of days ago.
Chad, switching gears a little bit, I was excited to hear you're on the program because I've been wanting to ask you this question. Since the Fed's QE policy is shifting, or the market thinks it's shifting, and it's so new and so untested, how are you handling, from an ag economist standpoint, integrating that into the grains? Do you just let the exports do the heavy lifting, or do you have anything to add to that?
In this case, I'm going to argue, let the exports do the heavy lifting. As I look at where the Fed's going to go with this, to me, the biggest aspect where it's going to shift us here on the commodities is probably, you know, our exchange rates impacting what's going to happen export-wise. But I've also been talking to producers a lot about how Fed policy may shape what's going on their cost structure and how, okay, you know, now's the time to look at margin management, which is something we haven't had to discuss over the last several years because price levels have been so strong.
On consumption patterns, do you believe USDA's numbers for the 2013-14 marketing year need or should be adjusted?
I'm looking at the feed side thinking that number's got to come down again. As I look here, other than that, maybe exports could actually pop up a little. As I look at, you know, how China's building up here, you know, I think the 2012 number, that 700's got to come up at least a little bit given where we're at already this marketing year. I think we're going to see more of that international strength, especially given what China has done thus far.
Why would feed need to be adjusted? There are more beef cattle, more dairy cattle. I take that back. There are more dairy cattle, I think, more hogs and more poultry. Beef may be the only one that's off.
Beef's the one that's off, but here you're talking about an 800 million bushel increase compared to their number for last year. You know, as I look, you know, basically, I don't see that big a shift here. I think the other thing that's going to happen in that number, and I thought it was discussed here a little bit earlier, is this idea of where feed's going to play out. We've been looking at producers utilizing a lot of alternative feeds over the past year, and my guess is we continue to see some of that substitution as we go into the 13 crop year.
Chad, what about bean demand? It seems to me USDA has a pretty lofty number plugged in for bean demand. Do you see any changes needed there?
At this point, no. And the reason I say that is, yes, they do have a lofty number. The biggest bounce they expect is in exports. But as I looked at advanced sales thus far on the bean market, we're running right at about where we were last year on the advanced sales. China's 81% of that market outright. And they've continued to pull from us basically throughout all this. And so as I look at that, I'm like, no, I'm fairly comfortable with that right now, just given that China's strength has continued.
Mike, do you have another question for him?
Yeah, I wanted to know, from your standpoint with the animal guys there at Iowa State, is the PED virus garnering more attention and, you know, relating that back to the feed? Is that something that could be a big issue, or is it starting to die down in your area?
At least thus far, I'll put it this way, the chatter is starting to die down. So I'm hoping that's something that, you know, we've put the cap on it now and are able to control as we go forward here. So it doesn't seem to be building. It seems to be subsiding as we go into the summertime.
I know it's very early, but would you have an idea when you did your windshield guess of what average statewide yield might be? If conditions were normal from here on out?
If conditions were normal. Oh, thanks for giving me conditions are normal. Well, let me pull up my little model here and let's see what we got. So
all right.
As I look here in Iowa, what I'm at here for statewide average right now would be about 166.
And where is that by comparison?
Okay, if you did a flat 20-year trend, we would be at 181 here in Iowa. Compared to, you know, last year we were at 137. Year before that, 2011, we were at 172. So that's saying we're going to be down some, but, you know, it won't be nearly as dramatic as last year's drought.
So you took 15 bushel off your
trend? I got about 15 bushels off.
Okay, and for soybean?
Soybean, right now, my little model says 47.5. That's off the 20-year trend of 50.8. Last year, we were at 44.5. So taking that down about 2.5 bushels.
Mike, you have another follow-up you want to ask?
I was going to ask about the corn yield for Iowa, so you got me already.
Hold it. What did you say, Mike? I didn't have your potted all the way up.
I was going to ask about the Iowa corn yield, so you already covered it.
Chad, I'd say with that Iowa state yield, how does that relate to your number for the country? In my mind, as Iowa goes, the rest of the country goes. So that seems to me like it could drag the national average down a bit.
Well, it could drag it down a bit, but I've been describing this as a tale of two corn belts. You know, as you look at what I'm seeing here in Iowa, arguably, you know, you were mentioning earlier Indiana sort of the garden spot. You know, Iowa, we're exactly the opposite, if you will. You know, you look at basically from Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, you guys have corn crop ratings out there well above 75%. Here, Iowa, Minnesota, going down into Missouri, you're talking about sub 60. So we definitely see the potential for definitely above trend line average as we look at the eastern corn belt. A little bit below average here on the western side, which probably means that when you look at the overall nationwide number, yeah, probably a little bit below trend, but not much. And I'd say that's where USDA is already at right now when you look at the adjustments that they've already made.
We're wrapping up, but one real quick. You said you were 2 weeks behind on planting. That's not a whole lot behind. When was the last planting dates, roughly speaking, on the average?
The last planting dates here, you know, if you go by the insurance, would have been the end of May. I saw a lot of corn going in the last 2 weeks of June.
And so if you're 2 weeks behind... I'm trying to calculate this out, but thinking that you might have a lot better crop ratings in the next 2 weeks than you do today. Is that right?
Yes, that is very possible as we look here today. I mean, our ratings have jumped about 4 percentage points over the past 2 weeks each.
Thanks so much, Chad.
Thank you.
Chad Hart is ag economist at Iowa State, and our panelists in studio have a very quick final word. We'll start with you, Chip.
Well, I'd say two things. Don't panic if corn goes lower. There's still plenty of hurdles left ahead of us. Be ready and willing to sell 5.25 and above.
Wayne Nelson.
I think after he said the crop ratings could improve in the next couple weeks in Iowa, we'll see a lower market the next 2 weeks.
20 seconds, Mike.
520 September corn equals buying livestock feed needs and lifting out of some of the corn hedges.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.